others. He was so strong. And if I spoke to you like he spoke to them, there wouldn't be many people left here next week. Because he used such strong language to Christians, to priests, to pastors, which he felt should know better. Hypocrites, snakes, whitewashed tombs full of dead bones. And he even called one of his best friends, Peter, Satan. Yeah, get behind me, Satan. You just don't understand the things of God. And you think, this is not the Jesus that we generally recall to mind. And the reason for that is we have a rather lopsided view of Jesus. Jesus is always full of grace and love and mercy. But he's also a judge. And out of his love and concern, sometimes there's words which he spoke and he speaks to us because he loves us. And so we saw from John 1 that Jesus was full of grace and truth. In this beautiful description, he wasn't just like half grace and half truth. Yeah, I don't understand it, but for me, he was like 100% grace and 100% truth. And that's an amazing tension which he held, and we need to find that tension too and hold on to it. And we looked at a couple of examples in recent years of drunkenness in the church, of immorality in the church, and how it was appropriate to bring words of truth in the context of grace, because it's both. A verse I didn't mention last week... Oh, thank you, that helps me a bit as well. A verse I didn't mention last week was Titus 2. And I think it may come up behind me, but Paul, writing to Titus, says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness," Titus 2:11-15, "and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority." And we often think of grace in the way Becca was describing to us. And that's absolutely true. And we need to be reminded of that. But actually, Paul also says, but grace teaches us to say no to sin. Because he wants to redeem us. He wants to purify us. He doesn't want us to live like we were. And so he gives us power and strength to resist the enemy and to say no to sin, because he's looking for a pure people. Therefore, encourage and rebuke with all authority. I want to look today at a couple of scenarios. We'll certainly look at the first one, and if we've got time, the second. How does this message then of grace and truth apply to the gospel which we proclaim? And if we have time, how does this message of grace and truth apply to relationships? Because actually they're very connected in the process. The gospel which we proclaim, and we've been singing about the blood of Jesus, is called the grace of God, or the gospel of salvation. And it is. It's good news, which is what gospel means. It's totally brilliant news. And we willingly and often quote scriptures such as John 3:16. Actually, we quoted it this morning. Somebody said it. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life." I mean, that's just an absolutely amazing message, isn't it? God loves everybody. Those of us here in this room, those of us that we go to work with, those of our families. He loves the whole world, those in the Muslim countries, those in communist places and capitalist places, the materialistic West. He loves us all so much that he gave his Son Jesus, that whoever believes should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, what a message. Romans 5 verse 8, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us." That's how God demonstrates his love to us. While we were still sinners, God, Jesus, died for us. And in 1 John 2, verse 2, it says, 1 John 2, yeah, verse 2, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, the church, but also for the sins of the whole world." I think that's just an amazing statement. And some would have drawn from that statement, well, maybe everybody gets saved in the end because Jesus died for everybody and everybody's forgiven and the sacrifice applies. Well, it's partly true, because the sacrifice that Jesus gave himself was for the whole world. He loves us all. He died for us all. He expresses forgiveness to us all. What an incredible message. What an incredible gospel. By grace we're saved. Not by works. We can never make ourselves good enough. Could never go to church as many times enough. Could never give as much as we should give enough. Could never be good to our neighbours as much as we should be good enough. We could never be perfect. But this gospel's not based on what we've done. It's based totally on what he's done. And he makes us perfect. And he makes us good enough. And so we love the gospel. God loves us. He died for us. He accepts us just as we are. And that is totally true. Whether you're in sin, he draws you to him. Whether you're rebelling against him, he loves you just the same. And if somebody comes into LifeSpring today who's far away from God, he just loves them as much as he loves you. Because that's the sort of God that we've got. The world may reject you, think bad of you, scoff at you, but our God loves you. His love and grace is always bigger than the darkest sin. You could not go dark and as sinful enough to escape the grace of God if you come to him. Because his grace is always more powerful than sin. Light always puts out darkness. He wants the best for your life. So come to Jesus, we say. Receive his love. Receive his forgiveness. And I love that message. And I've preached that message. And we live that message. But I just want to say, it's not the whole message. You see, I can't say there's lots of people I've told that message to, but there are people I've told that message to, and they're not particularly interested. Especially if their life's good anyhow. Why do they need religion, they would say. And we'd say, well, it's not religion, it's Jesus, it's life. But for them, it's religion. Why do I need to add church on? Why do I need to add God on? I'm happily married, I've got a nice wife, nice husband, good kids, good job, no money worries, nice home, leisure I can enjoy, good pension fund. Why would I be able to respond? You've got God as well. Well, that's good for you, but I'm happy with what I've got. That is a response, isn't it? It's great if God loves me too. Thank you very much. But I don't need to go to church, do I? I don't need to read my Bible. That doesn't make me a Christian, does it? No, it doesn't. And you don't need to do that, no. They've missed the whole point. Because we've not made the whole point clear. He is a God of grace and love. And that is a glorious side of the gospel. But unless they come to him, they won't be able to experience that. I was trying to think how to illustrate this, and I've made up a little parable. I'm sure it's not as good as Jesus' ones, but I've done my best. Where's my water? I'll just have a drink of this. Well, that's the wrong side. It should have been this side. I think it was water. I just prayed over it. Oh. Thank you. So I was trying to illustrate this point. This is what I came to. This is a little story I just put in my mind, which I want to share with you. Imagine a cruise liner. Everyone having a great time. It's a floating hotel, if you like. All-inclusive price, entertainment, food. Sounds good, doesn't it, Kim? Drinks, sports facilities, all included on board. Captain becomes aware of an impending major catastrophe. Out in the middle of the Atlantic, too far from any land, something's happened and a structural defect has appeared below the waterline. And at some time over the next 12 hours, a massive hole is going to appear and this liner is going to sink. No idea when, But they know that they can't hold out for longer than 12 hours. But when the water begins to come in, it will pour in so fast, the liner will sink in minutes. There'll be not enough time for everybody to get their life jacket. So he calls his staff to the bridge and he says to them, explains the situation to them. He says, put on a life jacket yourselves and tell everyone else on board they need to get a life jacket now. If they do, they'll be safe. Help is on the way. So the staff tell everybody on board, all the passengers, put on your life jacket. There's enough for everyone. They're totally free. It's all included in the price. You don't have to pay anything more. There's large ones, there's small ones. Every shape and size catered for. But to their horror, most can't be bothered. The good news is everyone will be safe if you put on a life jacket. And there's more than enough for everyone. But the poker player wants to finish his hand. And the pretty girls trying to impress the boys feel it will make them look less glam and spoil their appearance. And the guys trying to impress the girls want to show how brave they are by laughing at such an idea. And the well-to-do lady and gent, they don't want to crease their fine clothes. And the children persuade their parents that if they put this cumbersome life jacket on, it's going to spoil their fun. So surely they can enjoy themselves, you know, without having to stick this jacket over themselves. One or two folk, knowing that the captain must have ordered this for good reasons, decide that they will put a life jacket on because he must have had a good reason, but most can't be bothered. What's all the fuss about? I'll think about it later. I'm having too much of a good time now. And anyway, I'll pay good money for this trip. There's lifeboats, aren't there? And so for the majority, life aboard carried on as if there is not going to be any disaster. And at least everyone is having a good time. So the question is, why such a cool response to such a desperate need? And the answer is, they've not been told the whole truth. Sure, they were told the good news, no charge, it's free, it's a comfortable fit, there's enough for everyone, the captain loves you, we love you, so put your life jacket on. But what they needed to be told is within half an hour, this ship could be at the bottom of the ocean. And you can't wait till then. You need to put the life jacket on now. The life jacket was always good news. But now, if they were told the full story, it's seen as brilliant, essential news. Without it, I will die. Well, we won't finish the story. So I would like to think that most of those put their life jacket on. But I was just thinking, how can I illustrate that sometimes we just tell half the point? You see, I think we're saying salvation is good news. But it's only good news when you know what you're being saved from. Just telling people God loves them is just half the message. That's the grace side. Never, ever reduce that side. Always come out of love and grace and acceptance. But surely they need to know the truth, which is actually sin has separated you from God. And it's going to keep you out of heaven and condemn you to hell, total separation and isolation. You are under judgment, the whole world is, and that's why Jesus came, to pay the price our sins deserve, so we can be saved. And if you repent and believe, you can be. That's how God shows how much he loves us. You're a sinner and you need saving. He came and he died for us. He actually became sin, even though he was holy, but God raised him up. It's grace and it's truth. And the truth is, if we don't repent, if we don't turn to him, if we don't believe, we will be judged and condemned to hell. And as a church, as a person, we've lost that message, that part of the gospel. Because when people understand that, they'll see what incredibly amazing, outrageous grace, love and forgiveness there is from God. Because Jesus came to save us from hell, judgment and death. Because of his incredible love for us. so that we who were full of sin and bad and rubbish and messed up are now totally holy and righteous and perfect because of the blood of Jesus. But if you just tell them that's what Jesus is going to do for them, they think, so what? They need to know that this is where they are. And if they understand where they are, I just wonder how many more people would want to put the life jacket on. You see, as a church, we're not good at that side of the message. I've not been good at that side of the message. I have on occasion spoken in the town centre, and I've not told people to repent and believe, and you're going to pass. I've told them, God loves you, God loves you, he wants to save you, this, that and the other. But I'm thinking they are just passing by and thinking, good for you, you've got church, I've got a career. Yeah, what difference does it make? But if somehow or another we can really help them see they're in an absolute mess and they're going to be part of a liner that goes to the bottom of the ocean, unless they put that life jacket on, I'm not sure that many are really going to bother. It's grace and it's truth. And I know when we've talked about judgment and when we've talked about judgment to come for us all, some in the church have been so uncomfortable with that message. They don't like to think about it, don't want to read about it, don't want to, but actually it is true. Listen to these words. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. You see, I think the New Testament message included judgment much more than 21st century message does. And I've got a feeling it needs to. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for the things done, while in the body, that's here, human life, you know, on earth, whether good or bad. That's all of us, church. We're included in that. Hebrews 9:27, just as a man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. There's just two things that I can promise to everybody here. They're going to die, unless Jesus comes back first. They're going to die, and they're going to face judgment. Absolutely sure of those two things. We're going to die, we're going to face judgment. Romans 2 verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Acts 17:30, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. We don't talk like this, and I'm not sure how we should talk like this and how we can put this in language that those that don't understand are able to be convicted and see for themselves. But I'm persuaded that the gospel is grace and truth. And unless people see that truth message, that they are under judgment unless they come to Jesus, they will never understand how amazing grace is. And we can talk all we like about grace. And it's amazing for us because we've come from there to here. But for somebody that doesn't understand that they're over there, they might even think they're over here, they're never going to get hold and experience the love of God, because what they will experience is wrath and judgment. This isn't Life Spring talk, is it? But I thought God loves you. I thought God was a God of grace. I thought God of forgiveness. But the truth is, the only way to experience that is through repentance and faith and belief in Jesus. Otherwise, we will experience the wrath and judgment of God. And he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to experience that, so he sent Jesus, so that we could be made right and holy and experience the love, the grace, the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Hallelujah. It's holding tension here, church, isn't it? It's grace and it's truth. The truth is, without him, we're going to go to hell. The truth is, with him, we're going to go to heaven. If we do not repent, we'll never experience the love of God. I read John 3:16 earlier on. If we just go to the next verse, verse 17, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Hallelujah. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But it goes on, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. We often stop John 3:16. But if we were to include the next couple of verses, we'd have grace, grace. And the truth of the matter is, if we don't respond to God's grace, we're condemned. That is the message. That's why the gospel is so brilliant. Is there agreement here?
Yes.
Yeah, that is the message. Once I was there, on the way to hell. Once I was there, doomed to death. But I've been taken out of darkness because I've repented and believed and confessed my sin, and I've been brought into this amazing grace where now, even if I mess up, his grace covers me. Because it's not based on what I can do, it's based on what he's already done. That is just amazing grace. And he gives me grace to help me not to mess up. So sin's not inevitable, because now we're not in that kingdom of darkness, we're in this kingdom of light. And John says, you shouldn't think even about continuing to sin. That's what you used to do, but now you're over here. You're in God's kingdom, and his power and his grace and his spirit is in you. That is what God has brought us to. And Becca, wherever you are, she's gone, wherever she is so right. We still live like we're over here sometimes, but we've got to see that we're children of God. We're daughters, we're sons, we've been saved because of what Jesus has done. Let's live like that. Let's live like that, and let's proclaim the message so that people can see that's destruction, this is life. And God wants us all to come to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa. Yes, Lord. So, what I want to say is, so with regard to the gospel, I think we need to be careful and wise. I've seen and I've heard preachers, and I love a lot of them on the God Channel, but you never get this other side of the message. What you hear is, give us your money. No. What you hear is, God wants the best for your life. God wants to really bless you. God's got plans for you. Yeah, just come to Jesus and you're going to have a good life. And that is all true. But we forget the reason for it. And for us to get to there's a turning that needs to take place. It's called repentance. It's called repentance. Our thinking changes, needs to change. Our actions need to change. Our mindset needs to change. It's not Mr. Independent, I'll do it all my own. I need a saviour. I need God. I need the Spirit of God to help me. I can't make myself good enough. No, but he can. And it's his grace. And it's his Spirit. I'm going to close with it. I'm not going to get on to the next section. We'll just muddle the water a little bit. So let me just end it with this. So with regard to the gospel, let's be careful and wise. I'm wondering if the main message should be more the New Testament message. Not God loves you and forgive you, but you're under judgment because of sin. And if you don't turn and believe, you're going to get you will be condemned. You are already. But if you do, there's incredible love and grace for you to experience. He will save you and treat you as his son. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So church, let's hold on to grace with all that we've got. Let's never let go of that incredible, amazing message of grace. But when it comes to sharing the good news, when it comes to talking to our friends, when it comes to Alpha, when it comes to these other opportunities we have to share the gospel, I don't know the answers. I don't know how. I can't imagine some of this stuff coming out of all our guest services. But maybe it needs to. So that people can understand why we're jumping up and down, the hands in the air and this, that and the other. Because that's where we were. And that's where we were heading. But now we're not. And that's where you're going, but you don't have to. If you come to Jesus, he will make all the difference in the world. So it's grace and it's truth. Put them together and we have a wonderful message. A wonderful message to share to a world that needs to know. And just one thing. I mean, I'm talking to LifeSpring here. I think a lot of churches, well, conservative type churches, you probably don't hear so much of this side of the story. It just sounds all bad news and dark. I think we've got to hold the balance here. I just wonder, sometimes I think we've gone too far this way. Not in our experience, but in our proclamation. And if we can hold these together, we can enjoy grace. And hopefully, we'll be able to see lights turned on over here. People see, that's why I need to put the life jacket on. Now I know. Now I know. So we need to pray. We need to share. Out of love. Out of conviction. That we might see many lost, found. That we might see many blind with eyes open. That we might see many people saved from darkness, brought to light. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for amazing grace. Lord, I want to thank you for those words that you brought to us this morning, reminding us of who we are, reminding us that, well, once we were that, but now we're not, and we're excellent in your eyes if we've been saved and born again, because you've clothed us in Christ. And he's holy, and he's righteous, and he's loving, and he's kind, and that's who you've made us. Lord, most of us here say amen. And I want to pray that if there's anybody here that has not yet understood that transaction which has taken place, I want to pray, Lord, that you will open eyes, that people might see that without you, there is no hope. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I pray that each one here will know your love and your grace and your mercy because we've turned from darkness to light.